All right, good morning, and thank you so much for tuning into the program this morning. This is Holding Fast, the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. We will be in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 this morning, and the title of the sermon is Keep Going. This is the last in our series on sanctification, devotion to God, a pathway to sanctification. This proved to be a lengthy but profitable biblical series on the subject, a very important subject of sanctification. It is important to note that salvation is more than just naming Christ as your Savior. It must follow with a life of holiness or sanctification, which was the point of this series, to show our devotion to God and not to the world, or to live as hypocrites and claim to know Christ but have no fruit that bears any semblance at all to Christ-likeness. And on top of that, a true child of God, truly one that's been born again, regenerated, a new heart created with a love for God and a love for the Lord, a love for the Bible, will produce fruit that is a reflection of that love. Way too many imposters today in Christianity claiming to know and love Jesus, even claiming to know and love the Bible, and have absolutely no, or I should say little, to no desire at all to follow it. And that is the epitome of hypocrisy. What we want to do is put aside those old things to mortify the flesh. We talked about that on several occasions. Putting to death the old man. Renew that inner man after the image of Christ. And so this is an appropriate ending for this particular series. Keep going, or we could call it finish the race well, press on, or any number of other ones. But it is likened to a race, and you'll see why, if you're not familiar with this text in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So I'm going to read that now, then we'll get right into our lesson. So Paul begins verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So we're on our final lesson in this series, and the goal in life, the goal as a Christian man or woman, young person, the goal is not just to keep going, but to finish well. Paul talked about this often. He did liken it unto a race, finishing the race well. Paul mentions in one of my favorite texts over there in Timothy, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so that's a good outline of how we want to start and then proceed and then how we want to finish. We want to finish well. To finish well, you have to start right. And to start right, you must be born again. You must have experienced the new birth. Our religion is an experimental religion. It is a relationship religion with God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence the title of the series, Devotion to God. A lost person does not have devotion to God. A lost person has no interest in being devoted to God or the things of God or the Word of God. So they're going to start, perhaps, they'll have a little bit of religion in their life, but they'll deny the power they're in, and they will fall away. And I've seen this time and time again throughout 30 years that I've been saved and 18 years that I've been in the ministry. People come on, they're strong, and then 6 months down the road, 8 months, a year, maybe a little over that, some even go a little bit longer, and then all of a sudden they want nothing to do with religion at all. And then they blame it on somebody, usually the pastor or the church or somebody in their family or society in general. And they start to make excuses. Well, I wasn't taught well, or I wasn't taught right. It was false doctrine. You know, all these excuses. And in reality, you were never saved to begin with. you can't deconstruct from something that wasn't there to begin with. And that's a lot of the issue today with the young people. They're, you know, following a course that maybe their parents had set for them, but they've never owned a personal or had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, as born-again believers, devoted to God, devoted to His Word, devoted to the Spirit, and with a real heartfelt desire to want to live right, and to take each day and do better each day for Christ, to do better in serving Him, taking up the cross daily and dealing with our own personal issues and sin in our own lives. We want to, as the text states, to lay aside those weights that beset us, that keep us from continuing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to finish well. We don't want to finish our course in shame and disgrace. We want to finish our course well, and we want to finish it strong for the Lord. I've often asked, especially during funeral sermons, what kind of legacy are you leaving for your family? What kind of legacy are you leaving for those you know and love, maybe within the context of a church? What kind of legacy are you leaving? What are they going to say, you know, at your funeral when they eulogize? What are they going to say? Well, you know, John was a faithful church member. He always had his Bible, and he was this, that, and the other thing. Or, you know, or is it going to be some eulogy that emphasizes the sinfulness and ungodliness of that person's life? We want to finish well. We should at least desire to, anyway, as Christians. One of the things we understand, you know, in Christianity, all levels, you know, of service in all walks of life, you know, it's not just pastors that fall away or missionaries or evangelists, but it happens within the full range of Christian community. It happens a lot more than it probably should, especially in these latter days. I do have my suspicions as to why that happens, and I think there's a gap in sound biblical discipleship and doctrinal teaching today, and I think that doctrine is not just something, you know, that you spout off a bunch of facts about Jesus. Sound doctrine, biblical doctrine, that's emphasized at the local church level helps to stabilize believers, to give them a firm foundation. That's really what helps you to persevere and continue on. And so we see that happen way too often. I've mentioned before on this platform, you know, pastors within 3 to 5 years leaving the ministry. And I mean leaving the ministry, not just, you know, leaving one ministry and hop into another one and hop into another one. I could never understand why a pastor would do that. If he was called to one location, then that's the location to stay at. But that's a different discussion. There are reports, Barna and other polling sites, that do talk about pastors leaving the ministry altogether in 3 to 5 years and not going to any ministry. And so why is this stuff happening? You know, where's the desire to finish and to finish well? So we start by looking at our ultimate example. And we can look at Paul. Paul's a great example. Paul said, "Be followers of me as I am also of Christ." We see those precious examples in Paul, but let's go beyond Paul. Let's go to Christ. And the context of the verses that I read to you, Christ finished well. I mean, he, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Jesus becomes our ultimate example in how to deal with conflict, how to deal with the challenges of life, how to deal with the shame and the persecution and the hardship, how to deal with, you know, the disappointment that comes from people you know who let you down, like Judas, and press on through all of that. What was his focus? He endured the cross. He despised the shame. But he did that for the joy that was set before him. And so the book of Hebrews is about persevering in sanctification. Personal holiness, my friends, does not come easy. It does not come easy. We are called and saved to be holy, but we must be vigorous in obtaining it as we do other things in life. The easiest thing to do in life in general, and especially in the Christian life, hey, just drift along. And there are a lot of drifters in the context of Christianity. They're on the they're on the peripheral of Christianity or on the peripheral of the church. They just sort of linger on the outskirts. They don't really throw in their hands. They don't get too involved. They're not interested in serving. They're not interested in, being challenged. They're not interested in telling people about Jesus. They don't want any kind of confrontation at all. They're just drifting along. Now, that's no way to live as a Christian. We've been given this tremendous opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, this tremendous opportunity, and we let those opportunities slip by us. And that doesn't make for a very exciting Christian walk, to say the least. So the real challenge is to be holy. And that challenge is a fierce and enduring challenge. And we are encouraged by the Lord to keep going on. Our motivation, as we see in this text here, our motivation is Jesus Christ. To look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So there are a couple of things to consider as we look at this text. Number one, we should consider things that are hindrances or potential hindrances to keep us from our goal to finishing well. The Christian life is compared to a race, like those mud runs or endurance races. We have a number of folks in the church, and I've got a good friend that does it as well. He does these mud runs, and I think there's one up in Vermont or something that's like a 6-hour mud run. And these races are packed with all kinds of obstacles, and they're designed to challenge you, to slow you down. And people from all walks of life, men, women, young people, enter these races. And there's a tremendous amount of camaraderie in the race, before the race, during the race, even after the race, to encourage one another to finish each obstacle and ultimately the race. There's a lesson there for us as believers, too, to be there to encourage one another in the faith, to lift one another up, to encourage one another, to press on, to pray for, to bear ye one another's burdens, as it states in the text, to do these things to kind of help us. The church should be striving together, I think it says in Philippians, striving together in unity and faith and love for the cause of Christ, striving together. And part of that striving together means that we encourage one another. So the first thing you want to learn here is beware of excess baggage, anything that will slow you down or hinder you from doing well. We need to, as the author stated, consider the art of consideration. In other words, is this thing going to keep me from my objective or help me? And now I know that's very vague, but think about your spiritual life. Think about just the basic spiritual disciplines, not anything above and beyond, say prayer, reading your Bible. What keeps you from reading your Bible every day? What hindrances are there in your life that are keeping you from reading your Bible for, say, 15 minutes every day? What's keeping you from doing that? That's a hindrance. What's keeping you from your prayer closet? What's keeping you from going to church on Sunday morning? And I'm not even talking about Sunday evening or Wednesday night. I'm just talking Sunday morning. Because some people don't go to church at all. What's keeping you from church? Now you can build on top of those are just basic things, right? Just basic things. Reading your Bible, prayer, and going to church. Now we can add a few more layers to it. What's keeping you from serving in the church? What's keeping you from going soul winning? What's keeping you from helping in the music ministry or in the Sunday school or the adult or the young people's? What is keeping you from serving in the church? What hindrances are there? Then we can go even further than that. And what is keeping you from walking a walk of holiness? What is keeping you from your goals regarding sanctification? What sin are you allowing in your life? Or what things, I'm being very non-specific here, what things are you allowing that are creating an environment of sin and keeping you from sanctification. Even go further than that, we can talk about what people are keeping you from your serving the Lord and going to church and reading the Bible and keeping you from living a life that is sanctified and holy. What people? We don't always think about the people in our lives and the effects that they can have on us. Even family can have an effect on you and keep you from church. How many times has a husband kept a wife from going to church? Lost husband, saved wife. She wants to go to church. She wants to serve in a church. She wants to be a part of the ladies' group. She wants to be there on Wednesday night. She wants to help and serve. She wants to, but her husband is lost, and he's keeping her from doing that. And the role could be reversed. It could be the other way around. A lot of times I've seen this. Wives are tugging close on that arm and keeping the husband from fully serving in the church, keeping him at bay, and, you know, keeping him from going to church and then introducing things that would be a hindrance. Then there are friends and extended family that keep you from doing the things that in your heart you desire to do because you want to please the Lord. We don't often think about that, but the Bible warns us about those kinds of people. Psalm 1 is a classic example of that. Sit not in the way of sinners, walk not in the way of the ungodly, sit in the seat of the scornful, so forth. People can be a hindrance. It can be baggage that keeps you from doing what you need to do as a Christian. Toxic people can keep your spirit down. You're around toxic people, negative people that are always murmuring and complaining, whining about every little thing that goes on. And people that do that don't realize the baggage that they're attaching to other people, the burden, because they're constantly griping and complaining about every little thing that's going on. And you hear that and it beats on your spirit time and time and time again. And it's hard for you to be sanctified in your thinking when, you know, Johnny, you know, comes over and he's constantly criticizing, you know, somebody you know and love, or criticizing his life or the world, or complaining and whining about things. And you know, what do I do with all of that? You know, and that is a hindrance. It can slow you down and weigh heavily on you. So you have to be careful of the, you know, types of people and the toxic environment that you subject your spirit to. The other thing you want to do, in addition to being aware of excess baggage, is to practice detachment. In other words, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Our place is in heaven. We have been seated in heavenly places. And so we cannot love the world. Love of the world is enmity with God. You can't serve both God and mammon. It's one or the other. There is no middle ground on this. It's one or the other. So you have to learn to practice detachment. Paul's focus, and we see this repeatedly throughout his epistles, his focus was on the Lord, on being in the presence of the Lord, on being in heaven. He lived his whole life that way. He was under some of the severest persecution and hardship that none of us will ever experience, or I should say many of us will never experience. He had his eyes on the author and finisher of his faith, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what motivated Paul. That's what kept him going. Paul said in Galatians, I think it's verse number 20, I don't have it in my notes, when he talks about the world, he is crucified unto the world and the world unto him. So the way I look at that verse is Paul had nothing to do with the world. And the world, knowing Paul, wanted nothing to do with him. And so you get to that point as a Christian where you're so heavenly-minded, you're so focused on the things of God, and your desire is so intense to live for God, to be like Christ. The world said, I don't want to be around that person. All they do is talk about Jesus. They don't do any of the fun things that we do in the world. They're no fun to be around. They go to church on Sunday. They're in church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and they're serving and preaching and giving away Bibles and their fellowships and Bible studies and conferences and whatever. They're doing all these things and they're no fun to be around. You know, they don't tell, you know, off-color jokes, and, you know, they don't get along like we do. And that's okay. You're a Christian. Go to church and be in good company. Be with people that are going to encourage you. And they're not going to, you know, look at you like you have two heads because you're talking about the Lord or you're talking about some aspect of doctrine or the Bible. Now, the second point is don't get entangled. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Don't be entangled with that stuff. If you get entangled with the affairs of this life, like you think about all that's going on culturally, I understand we gotta preach, we've got to take our stand, and we've got to admonish and rebuke the works of darkness and so forth, but don't get entangled in that stuff. You know, we're not here to promote a social cause or a political cause. We're here to preach Christ and Him crucified. We're here to tell people they need to repent and be born again. They need to get right with God. And the only way that they can get right with God is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That is the only way. The gospel. That's it. Don't get entangled in all that stuff. And I understand each of those has their place in the pulpit, but only through the lenses of the scripture. Don't get entangled in all of that stuff. So what are the encouragements that we need to continue the race? Well, a great cloud of witnesses does indeed surround us. We're surrounded by witnesses within the context of our Christian faith, our Christian circles, but also outside of them as well. People are looking on and evaluating your faith and your God by the way that you live. I always find it remarkable to me, people, you know, they don't understand why they don't have a good testimony at work when you hear from those that they work with, all they do all day is cuss and tell dirty jokes and, you know, flirt with the waitress or whatever. I mean, it could be any number of things. And these things that they do, and they look on and say, well, that's just no different than a lost person. He's telling me I need to get right with the Lord, but he's doing the same things I do. Why? Why should he change? You know, so we got to be careful. That's a motivating factor, our witness, our testimony. And then we also have those who have gone on before us. We have those Baptists, you know, come from a Baptist perspective, those Baptists that have gone on before us that have endured much hardship to secure for us the freedoms that we have today as Baptists. And their faith was consistent throughout their lives, and they did finish well. They finished very strong. So we have that. And then, of course, from the context of the Bible, we have many characters in the Bible that did, in fact, finish very well. I mean, Hebrews 11 is an excellent chapter in that regard. So in addition to Paul finishing well and Christ finishing well, we see that litany of names and characters in Hebrews chapter 11, who operated, lived, died, were persecuted on the principle of their faith. So I think that's encouraging to us. Many others, many thousands and millions of others have lived that life that the Bible calls us to live, and they did finish the race, and they did finish that race very well. And so what we want to do in all of that, we want to have not only these witnesses, but our focal point needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have Jesus as the focal point. He is the founder of our faith. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Master. Jesus is the object of our faith. Paul said, I press on toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. Paul had a mark. He had a point. He had a place where he certainly had his attention centered. And that's what we need to do as Christians. Jesus encourages us, he sustains us, he perseveres alongside each of us, and above all, he takes care of his beloved church. Our endurance depends on his endurance. And so as Jesus endured through affliction, opposition, and denial and rebellion from men, so too can we. We need to make the right decisions. And all of these decisions revolve around our sanctification through the Word of God, through the conviction of the Spirit, through providence, through preaching, through the brethren, through prayer, and not getting distracted, but allowing God to direct and guide our steps towards holiness. Is it important enough for you to do that? And so the challenge goes back to the beginning of this sermon. Keep going. Press on. Finish well. That's the challenge for us all as we consider this important word for our time this morning. It is time to bring this message to a close. Take care, and the Lord bless you. Bye now.